Welcome to First and Now, the official BC Lions podcast. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and it's a pleasure to be back talking football with you in 2021. Happy New Year, everybody, if it's not too late to say that. As Larry David said in Curb Your Enthusiasm, that's like saying Happy New Year in October. Well, it's not October, but we're kind of dreaming of October in a sense, because that's the month where the leaves start falling. It gets a little wet. It gets a little windy, and we're ready for a push to the playoffs, hoping to be back on the field sooner rather than later. And I know everyone's had a tough 2020. I know we have here with the BC Lions on the content side. But the idea is to move forward, and that's why we're bringing you podcasts and content at our website, bclions.com. It's our chance to remind you that First and Now is a presentation of IA Financial Group. IA Financial Group has over 125 years of experience helping Canadians. Proudly Canadian, IA Financial Group has over 7,000 employees and more than 4 million clients, serving Canadians with a foundation of trust from coast to coast. IA Financial, invested in you. Contact your financial advisor for more information. We mentioned bclions.com, and that is where you can head to follow all of our great transactions. Yes, we're just a couple of weeks out from the free agency period. Still some names to re-sign, but Neil McAvoy, Rick Campbell, Ryan Rigmaiden, G-Roy Simon, and everybody doing a fine job. We've announced Joel Figueroa this week, Philip Norman, another offensive lineman. I'm just naming a couple guys here, but how about a couple of the new additions in the secondary? Marcus Sales, defensive back, former Western All-Star with Winnipeg, spent some time in the NFL. Anthony Chaffee, who coach Rick Campbell is familiar with the Ottawa Redblacks. A couple of nice additions before the period even opens. Kenny Ladler sticking around. That's a guy who can play defensive back, linebacker, perhaps the nickel position. So lots of great things happening. One of those names who has re-signed with the club is a guy who, well, he's made good use of the time off during COVID, building his personal training and his fitness career in his hometown of London, Ontario. Fullback David Mackey. We'll get his thoughts on that. His excitement for being back with a group of players that is re-signing and whoever else is still to come. David Mackey, in just a minute, the club's second-round pick back in 2018. Perhaps we'll get him to reminisce about draft night in itself. He got the call from G-Roy Simon saying that he was going to be a BC Lion. That would be a thrill for any young Canadian football prospect. How about that? Lions fullback, David Mackey. And he has entered the chat via Zoom. Those viewing this podcast can see he's got his Lions shirt on. He's got the living room set up there in London, Ontario. Yeah, David, you're in mid-season form here. You're a veteran at this stuff. What's going on, man?
It's crazy, man. I mean, now with everyone going on Zoom, I mean, it's nice and easy. I'm used to it. I got my corner set up that I've been doing with all sorts of school visits and online clients and stuff like that. So it's you know, it's kind of the standard now. It makes it look like I read a fair bit. I just bought these books. I don't know who read them, but.
is that, and again, for those not viewing this, we apologize for the injustice. Is that a Dwight from The Office bobblehead? What bobblehead is that?
That is Dwight Schrute. That's Dwight Schrute from The Office. I'm a huge Office fan. And I think I literally saw it at Spencer's Gifts, like, despite the Office quote. And I was like, I have to buy it. It's a no-brainer. So that sits behind me.
That's one of those, you get the Netflix out, you know, they're 22 minutes. If you're having a bad day, if you need to cheer me up or whatever, just put The Office on or something like that. I mean, I've been watching Cobra Kai, speaking of short episodes. Have you watched
it? You've been watching it, eh?
So you're a little,
go ahead.
I was going to say, you're a little younger than me, so you don't really remember the Karate Kid phrase. You probably weren't born yet, but
I taught, like, great. I know, yeah. I liked it. I watched it a lot growing up, and then a bunch of buddies are into the Cobra Kai. I'm not a big TV watching guy, so the fact that I got through The Office, and now that's kind of like my background thing. And like you said, it's like, if you got to put on something quick for 22 minutes, that's my go-to.
Well, there you go. Well, we certainly had time on our hands. Well, not necessarily. You've been a busy guy this last 10, 11 months. You're in London, Ontario there, of course. You know, what's this been like for you? Hard to put into words, but you've made some progress in your other career.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. And I mean, I think that's, you know, for lack of a better term, is crazy, right? And I think as much as everyone's kind of lost jobs and lost income and trying to find other revenues of income, and despite being a professional athlete, we're not immune to it either. And I think this year was pretty big for a lot of guys, that when they, you know, rely so much on that identity as a football player, and when it's stripped away from you for a year, a lot of guys were lost, right? And I was fortunate enough that even after my rookie year and going into my rookie year, I started taking some time developing my own business as a strength and conditioning coach. After my degrees in kinesiology and psychology, I took some more certifications and courses on strength and conditioning. And it was something that I was doing in my off seasons, but it's hard to develop a professional relationship with clients when you're back saying, "Hey guys, I'm here for 4 months. Let's work out." Okay. Well, 4 months later, okay, I got to go to training camp.
Yeah.
We'll pause, hold. We'll see you then. So it was something that I love, and it's something I was interested in, you know, doing after football. And this allowed me a full essentially year and a half to dive headfirst into that profession and start up my own business and contract out of a couple different facilities here in London, work with anyone from youth athletes to other pros. I've got a group of 7 other CFL athletes that I'm working with now. So that's been fantastic. But like I said, it was tough to get started because at the beginning, right, we kept pushing things off, saying, well, maybe training camp's another month. Okay. Maybe training camp's another month. Okay. Maybe we're going to this bubble, and trying to delay employment for a lot of guys, saying, you know, maybe I won't take a job because there's a chance I could go and play football. And I'm happy that I didn't wait long enough to the point where I was kind of lost. And like I said, without an identity, and I was able to jump into that other profession.
That's an interesting comment. I mean, the off season normally is shorter than you think. And, but I mean, as a guy who is dedicated to working out and doing a lot of this in the off season anyway, that must have made the transition easier, David, in terms of you taking on this more full time the last year.
Yeah, it definitely made it. I mean, it's one of those things when you do get to do a job that you love to do, it doesn't feel like work. And although it's, you know, those in the strength and conditioning industry realize that it's a pretty crazy industry to get into because it's ever evolving. It feels like you never sleep, and all you do is burn calories, and you tell other people to sleep and eat well, and you're just trying to keep up with them. So it was definitely an easy transition because I love to do it. And I train so much to stay in shape for football, as well as ensure that I have a healthy, long lasting body that can take me years after football, and I can, you know, live a healthy life for not just the next 10 years with pads on, but for the next 50 years without it on. And it was fun. It was easy, but at the same time, it's short normally. Like I said, it's tough to develop professional relationships with clients, knowing that there is an end date in your sessions or your professional relationship, because I've got to ultimately go and play football again. So to have an entire year to grow that trust and grow a client base and get to know people and read more and get more certifications, it was really cool because now I know what identity I want to carry when I'm outside of football. And hopefully that doesn't come anytime soon, but it's nice to kind of have that bridge, at least the foundations built to that bridge for when that day comes.
You know, it's funny. I think of the start of this whole process as like last March 2020, but you hit on it there. I mean, the team hadn't stepped on the field till the final week of regular season, early November 2019.
Yeah.
Yourself, you had the knee injury second half of 2019. So when you add all that up, how much has that fueled your hunger for everything to get settled and to strap on the pads and start hitting people?
It's definitely, I mean, the fire is lit inside of me for sure. I was curious how I had to take the end of 2019 off with that knee injury. And all I wanted to do was come back in 2020 and prove that, you know, I could play at an all-star level and get back and play the full 18 games, as well as, you know, prove that the injury is not going to slow me down, because, you know, we work in a job that oftentimes, as soon as you get that black mark on your shoulder saying, oh, injury, knee injury, knock on wood, you may not perform as well as you once could. So I just wanted to come out and prove him when, like I said, that's stripped away from you. And a lot of guys get that, you know, a lot of guys end up on the IR and don't have a chance to come back and prove themselves. So it was, at first I almost wanted to like resent it, because I was like, I can't believe this is gone. And I've had football for, you know, the last 10 years of my life. And, but then you realize that you just got to get ready for it, right? It's like, we're lucky enough that we get to call this a job and a profession. And it's amazing that we get to do it for work and get paid to do it and meet a lot of amazing people. So yeah, I was actually just having a conversation with my roommate that it's like, it's tough to train for almost 2 straight years and not have a game, right? Game is the immediate, you know, feedback of training, right? It's like, I train this hard, now I can play this much better. I'm this much more resilient. I feel that much faster. Or the game's this much slower. And not having that feedback since last September, it's been tough, right? And it's like, I just basically say, it's every day you got to wake up and you got to shovel dirt. And sometimes it's with a backhoe and sometimes it's with a spoon. But being able to just move dirt, get your work done, knowing that it's ultimately going to get you towards that goal, has kind of been the mindset. But it's going to be awesome once we can get back out there and prove ourselves, not just for myself, but pretty much everyone that's been working since last November.
And you, you're going to be counted on more for your leadership too, right? I mean, you've become the starting fullback since Roley Lambala left. And I mean, how much do you take pride in that? The fact that you're going to be one of those veterans in the running back room now, kind of giving guidance and tutelage to these youngsters that come in.
I very much look forward to it, and I take pride in that. I think I had a lot of great leadership when I first got to BC, and Roley and Travis Lule and a bunch of different other guys that were in that room still. And I still have great relationships with those guys, and it's weird to say that I'll be a veteran there, because it feels like it was not that long ago that I was just showing up to the facility in Surrey. So it's been something I very much look forward to. But I think kind of giving these young guys that are going to be coming in a little bit of a lesson, not to make sure they understand what they have available to them. And when we rely, not just myself, but all the guys that were in the league, we rely on this job as a job, right? It's means of income to get a roof over our head, to feed kids, to make sure you get through the off season, to support your relationships, and to come in and think something's going to be given to you. Because the guys that are willing to get through this year and a half off season, not retire, come back, they're going to want it that much more, because we understand what was taken away from us. And young guys coming in are going to think it's just kind of a privilege, where they're going to have to fight that much harder to keep up with those guys returning.
Want to win, right? I mean, I was in the office the other day, and it was great. It was great times for the organization. You see the photo of 2011, and you see all our great Grey Cup MVPs and most valuable Canadians the franchise has had, like Lou Pisaglia, Sean Millington, Paul McCallum, all those guys. Great history, great memories, but it's time to win another one, David. I mean, that's a big part of the equation too, right? I mean, can't discount any team here in 2021.
No, it's definitely going to be crazy. I mean, what's awesome is I get to see, you know, it seems like almost daily guys are re-signing that I've got to play with, whether it's 1 year, 2 years, or the last, you know, would have been 3 years. And what that means to me is that the guys that went through that, you know, trial and tribulation year in 2019 with the turnover and everything like that, there's a lot of guys that re-signed because we saw in the locker room that we had the skills, we had the team to win, right? And whether that was just we didn't have enough time to, you know, to gel, we just needed to be pushed in different ways. And now that I get to see all these guys re-signing, it's not because it's just something to do, right? Ultimately, like you said, we all want to win a Grey Cup. We're not just here to sign a contract for the sake of collecting a check and going home. And ultimately, the guys that are just signing, you know, a contract to get a check and go home, they're not going to last, because I see a lot of great guys, a lot of veterans that have come back and re-signed with this team. And we're excited to win. And I think we all noticed it in the locker room that I think we had the tools to win. And if we get another year to bond together, looking forward to getting coached and working with that new coaching staff that I was looking forward to getting with last year. And I think we all recognize real. And I think it's definitely going to be a great year for us, you know, for the BC Lions. I think, like you said, you can't count anyone out. Like, everyone's been sitting at home, right? Everyone's been chomping at the bit to get out there. But it's really going to, you know, be pretty evident the first couple of days of training camp who's actually hungry and who's ready to go and who's been training. And from the guys that I've seen that have re-signed with BC that I got to play with or that I'm going to get to play with, I think there's a lot of key pieces that are going to help us win.
Yeah, you mentioned the guys that are back, guys like Figueroa, Phil Norman. I mean, as a fullback, you like having the strong O-line. But what about some of these other free agents? And we're not even in the free agency period on defense. You see guys like Anthony Chaffee and Marcus Sales. Kenny Ladler's a guy back. I mean, from a team standpoint, the fact that these guys who haven't even suited up a game for us yet, David, that says something about what Coach Rick Campbell and Neil McAvoy are doing in terms of putting a good team on the field.
Absolutely. I like, I mean, it's great to see some of the big boys. I love sitting in the room with familiar faces, and I'm really looking forward to getting back with Bates out there and getting to work. But I mean, obviously special teams kind of hits home for me, and being our team's captain in 2019, it's awesome to see guys that are going to contribute. I remember my rookie year, you know, Chaffee was a problem for us in Ottawa, and I'm happy to have him on our side of the ball now. Dyshon Davis was great for us in 2018. Yeah. And now that he's back with us, it's great. Ladler, it's awesome to see him. I mean, obviously I'm biased to say it's exciting to have some teamers put together, and I'm hoping some of the guys that were critical to our special teams in 2018 and 19 get to re-sign. And I'm looking forward to seeing who else they pull from teams around the league to put it together a pretty sweet unit for us on teams.
Yeah, you mentioned, watching these NFL playoff games, and I talked with Marcus Sales about this last week. The teams that are still standing, you watch them play, they make one or two brilliant plays on special teams every game, it seems. I mean, that's no coincidence, is it?
No, and I think it's in the NFL, it feels like there's so much wasted tape for special teams with the fair catches and the, you know, touchbacks and everything like that. I feel like it's just kind of a chance for the teamers to stretch their legs half the time. But when you do get an opportunity to make a play, that's when you can't have a wasted play. Like at any given point, a 20 or 30 yard punt return can flip, especially with an American field. And now on a Canadian field, when we get back to it, it's like, you know, more than anybody, you have two immaculate special teams plays. Chances are you're going to win that game. Right?
Yeah.
Like it is every, you know, it's the classic Canadian football line that it's a third of the game, and it very much is. There's no fair catches, right? Every return's got to be returned. A tackle's got to be made. On kickoff, the chances of someone booting out the back of the end zone, very rare. And if they do, sweet, we get a point, right? So there's always going to be a return. There's always going to be a play to be made on both sides of the ball. And like I said, those guys that we mentioned that we've brought in and guys that we've re-signed are going to help us make some plays. And we've starting to put together the pieces on offense that if we can put our team in better field position, we're going to excel. And that's what happened in 2018. And when we played well in 2019 on teams, oftentimes our offense was in better position. And I'm looking forward to doing the same thing in 2021 and putting Mike and the rest of our offense in a good position.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, if you're a true fan of the game of football, you love the CFL because special teams, way more of a factor. I mean, draft picks like yourself in 2018, I mean, not necessarily going to get a chance to prove yourself as a starter in the offense right away, but where you make your hay is special teams from day one of training camp. We've talked about this before, David, but take us back to draft night 2018 and getting the call from, I think it was either, would have been either Neil or G-Roy giving you the call, right? I mean, what was that like finding out that you'd been selected by the Lions?
It was pretty awesome. It's funny. I was actually reflecting on that the other night because we were reminiscing about Wally and the fact that I get to tell the other young guys I was at the tail end of the Wally era. And yeah. I pulled a T-shirt out of my closet and it's like Wally's Army. I was like, wow, I'm going to look ancient when I wear this in training camp. But it was G-Roy that gave me the call, and it was cool, right? And it's great to reflect on. That's one of those positive memories that keep me motivated through a lot of these dark times, right? It's like knowing that they took a risk and they drafted a fullback in the second round, for God's sakes, right? And I had to go in there and know I had to immediately contribute and try and make a name for myself. And that's one of those things. It's that reputation I have to uphold when I get back into camp with a year and a half off. And the league waits for nobody. The the money waits for nobody. If you come in and don't perform, well, guess what? There's someone that's willing and ready. And especially the American talent's going to be that much better than Canadian talent now, because they haven't taken any time off, right? They don't have some of the lockdown rules, and they've been able to play college football. And now Canadians are, if they're not working, right, it's going to be exposed pretty quickly. So to be one of those Canadians that was lucky enough to get drafted, it's very cool to look back on and realize that, like I said, that's one of those things that's going to keep me motivated, knowing that, you know, Giro and Neil were part of that staff that got me drafted. And the fact that they're still around, I got to keep kind of a, you know, a good image for them. The fact that they're keeping me around 4 years later, and it was exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing who goes this year and what they can do for the draft. And I hope some Canadian guys get an opportunity, whether they're coming from the NCAA or the CIS. And it's always great to see young Canadian guys get a chance. And it was, it was cool. We were reminiscing about the combine and Wally's demeanor at the combine. And there was a drill that he pulled me out of because I got this stinger on my shoulder, and I was furious at the time because I was like, wow, he's not going to let me run these drills for the rest of the day. And he's like, hey, Dave, no, sit down. He's like, we don't want you getting any hurt. You've proved yourself. I was like, no, I got to go out there and show the rest of the coaches. And I think that was Wally's little genius thing, saying, I think we want to draft this guy, and we don't want to show anyone else what he can do. And he pulled me out of the drills. I didn't do anything the rest of the day. I just sat there, and I was furious. And sure enough, whatever, it was a month later, they called me on draft, and I was like, damn, that Wally guy's a genius. So that was, it's cool to look back on.
That's a great story. And yeah, that would have been Wally's final year, and he's been he's been a part of many drafts and combines and whatnot. So he knew the tricks of the trade by then. That was,
he pulled me out. I was like, what are you talking about, Wally? You said you wanted me to do this drill. He's like, no. He's like, you're injured. I was like, I'm not injured. He's like, you're injured. Take your helmet off, go and sit down. And he's just hanging out watching. He's smiling. I was like, I don't know why you're smiling. I'm furious. And it worked out. So.
Yeah, you got the no. There you go. You got that.
I got my first ever Wally knows and I don't. And I got many more of those the following year.
In just one season, no doubt.
Yeah, in just one season.
That's brilliant. I remember, 2018 Combine would have been in Winnipeg, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember having to bundle up and get the toque and gloves and parka on just to walk across the street to the convention center or wherever that was. The beauties of prairie living. As an Ontario guy, you can relate to a lot of those weather anecdotes. But your story as well. We've dug through the records. I think you're the first player ever from Jackson's Point, Ontario.
I might be the first and the last. I mean, it's a
small there you go. It's something to be known by. But you had quite the ordeal, not the ordeal, but it was a process for you to go to school and play football, not in your hometown, right? I mean, for our fans and listeners that don't know that backstory, what was that like as a young kid?
It was interesting. I always had a dream to play. My grandfather played and my dad played, and I always said I wanted to play football, but there was just no opportunity. And I was in the eighth grade, and this school opened in Unionville. So it's about 2 hours away. And I remember reading about it in the paper when I was in like the fifth grade, saying there was just going to be the school open for sports. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty freaking cool. So 3 years later, the board had started building, and it was at the far south end of the board. And I'm in the very north end of that same, you know, school district. And my parents said, do you want to go? Let's give it a try. And my mom and I took the GO bus down to do this visit. And it was this whole ordeal. And we ended up saying, okay, let's apply. And I got in. And my first year in the ninth grade, it was cool. I got to, there was no football, but I got to play rugby. Just experienced a culture full of kids that love sports when I was like 14. And despite still not playing football, I got exposed to rugby, and I was like, well, this is similar, but not quite what I want. And then in, you know, the tail end of my ninth grade, I was kind of asking teachers, I was like, can we start a football team? And they were kind of looking at me like I'm crazy, because now I understand the funding that goes into a football team and how teachers are saying, I don't know where the hell we're going to get this money. But I got a bunch of teachers to sign a petition. I got a bunch of kids to sign a petition, basically saying like, we got to get this team funded. And sure enough, there we were in the 10th grade with all new Rydell equipment and a football team and a couple of coaches, with Kevin Bellinor and Andrew Gouge were our football coaches. And We had a team full of misfits because no one was at that school to play football. We had a bunch of basketball players, hockey players, some wrestlers, and it was a lot of fun. And we sucked for years. I think I won like 5 games in my high school career, but I was taking a bus, you know, 2 hours there and 2 hours back just to have an opportunity to go to school for great academics outside of my hometown and a chance to play football. So it's, I guess it ultimately worked out pretty well.
Wow. Follow your dreams. That's a very good story, David. And, you know, good things happen to people who do good deeds. So, and yeah, other than that, growing up in that part of the world, I think we've talked about it before, but must have been a lot of pond hockey too, right?
Yeah, a fair bit. It was like, I think, actually Mario Villamizar and I were talking this morning about playing hockey, and he asked if I had skates. And like, I haven't put on skates in probably 2 years since I'm out in Vancouver and it snows for 6 days and that's your whole winter. So, I played a fair bit, no organized hockey, but we would just shovel kind of part of the lake off and play some shinny and kind of have some fun. And then once it got too much snow, we just couldn't play anymore. So then we just wait for it to melt and play on the streets. So that was pretty much it.
Yep. Awesome. In closing here, kind of bring it full circle. We know you've done some good things here the last 10, 11 months back home, but how much do you miss our fans and how anxious are you to get back here and see a lot of people, whether that's socially distanced or at practice like normal and at games?
Oh, I can't wait. I mean, when any job is taken away from you, you miss that socialization of your friends, your family, and everyone out there. And there's a lot of people that I got to meet as a part of the BC organization that I miss a lot that became, you know, a big part of my life. And when we realized as a player and, you know, kind of a veteran in the league that the reason this year couldn't happen was because we didn't have our fans and we realized how important the fans are to us. And I think a lot of guys are going to appreciate the fan base that much more. And I genuinely think the fans are going to appreciate us a lot more because now they get a chance to go outside and hopefully they can, you know, put their seats in the stands and come watch the football. And I think it's going to be great to get some experience in front of some football fans again, whether that's socially distanced or whatever it is. I'm very excited and I can't wait to get back out and see a lot of those guys that, you know, I was spent so much time with every day for 2 years and then, you know, a year and a half goes by and you haven't seen any of your buddies. So I can't wait to get out there and see you and the rest of the team and see the guys and interact with the fans again.
Well, I miss you too, buddy. That's awesome.
I appreciate you.
Hey, listen, thanks for joining First and Now, presented by IA Financial Group, of course. And yeah, man, let's do this in a meeting room next time, man.
I'd love it.
Ritual stuff.
I know I'm sick, but
thank you, David.
No problem, man.